There are two things in the gospel today that I'd like to call our attention to. First, of course, very typical of Advent, Jesus commands us, be watchful, be alert. He doesn't mean be paranoid, constantly watching your back, never sleeping at night, no. He explains the kind of watchfulness that he means is an interior readiness. Always be ready to meet the Lord. Are you ready to meet the Lord today? Most of us might be like, right now, at Mass. No, absolutely, right? I want Jesus to come for me when I'm in the middle of celebrating the sacred mysteries. It's all those other times of the day that I might be a little nervous. Be watchful. He says it four times in this short little passage here. Watch. The second thing in the gospel is that Jesus says to always be ready because we don't know when the Lord of the house is coming. Think about that phrase or title, Lord of the house. First of all, what's the house? It's a reference to the whole house of creation. He's the Lord of all creation. He's the creator. Right? Within all of creation, then, there's also our world. And Satan, in his rebellion against God, has claimed our world for himself. So Satan styles himself as the Lord of this house of the earth. But we know that the true Lord came and attacked that satanic Lord and bound him up on the cross and trampled him underfoot in the resurrection. That's a great image to pray with throughout Advent, right? Christ coming not just as a baby, meek and mild, but coming to take on our flesh so that he could bind up Satan and destroy the veil of death. Powerful. That's a baby to welcome. But I want us to spend a little bit of time with that word, Lord. Is that a comfortable word for you? Are you truly ready, truly willing, eager even, to bend your knee, to bend your will to the one who is Lord? And we throw the word around easily enough. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, my Lord. Lord, give me strength. But is it more than just a word? Think for a minute about all the reasons why you don't want to call your husband my Lord. Or all the reasons why you don't want to call your boss at work my Lord. Or maybe all the reasons why you don't want to call your wife my Lord or my lady or whatever it might be. I mean, how many times in the past week alone have you twitched because someone acted like they knew more than you did, or they had more authority than you do, or they have more power or control than you have? And with our equal brothers and sisters, maybe we should twitch a little bit when they treat us or others like that. But the true Lord of the house does know more than us, does have more authority than us, does have more power and control than us, always more. And now this Lord longs to be loved by you. I would love to recline on the breast of Jesus, just like the beloved disciple did in John's gospel at the Last Supper. But can I hold together at the same time both an intimate love for the Lord and a reverent submission to him as Lord? How submissive are you to the love of your life, Jesus the Lord? The Lord of the house is coming. Be watchful. Be alert. Our first reading from the book of Isaiah says that this Lord is also our Father. In the whole Old Testament, the word Father is used of God only 15 times. And only Isaiah says directly, our Father. In Jeremiah, God actually says in lament, I thought that you would call me Father. I thought that you would call me Father. Jesus himself, the Lord of the house, teaches us how a true Lord acts when he says, I thought that you would call me Father. Jesus, who is both loving and submissive to God, calls him Father 265 times. Certainly Jesus, and I would say the Blessed Mother as well, gives us perfect examples of how to be both intimate and submissive to the Lord of the house. In our second reading today, St. Paul teaches us what happens when we learn that combination of intimacy and submissiveness to the Lord. He says that when we acknowledge Jesus as Lord, then we become enriched in every way, with all discourse and all knowledge, so that we're not lacking in any spiritual gift. When we love the one to whom we're also submissive, then we become who we were created to be. We were created to be enriched with all the spiritual gifts. Are we more eager for the toys under the Christmas tree than for the spiritual gifts that God pours out upon us? I have a little bit of bad news right now. This afternoon, Dr. Mary Healy was supposed to be here to speak to us at Newman about some of those spiritual gifts. And her flight was delayed with mechanical problems and kept getting delayed. And finally, it's like, it's not going to work. And so she had to cancel her flight. Spiritual warfare, right? I hate that guy. But we have faith, right? It was really powerful. I talked to her on the phone right after the 8:30 Mass, and she said she was really excited, looking forward to coming to Missouri, because just last night she was praying, and she said the Lord was really telling me, putting in my heart, that there's something big going on there in Missouri. There's an anointing on this place, and there's some things that I want to do there. And that's why she was so surprised when there was all this opposition here this morning. But it was beautiful, she said, but I have perfect faith in the Lord's timing. And I do as well. And so we will try to reschedule. We're also going to have a prayer service we've sent a communication out. We're going to have a prayer service with all those who do show up at 1 o'clock to pray. Maybe the Lord's timing is still today a bit, but we'll pray as best we can. She was going to speak to us about all those supernatural gifts, how real they are. She was going to speak to us about how normal they should be in our lives, about how eagerly we should be desiring and pursuing them. Gifts like prophecy and words of knowledge and evangelization and teaching and service and generosity and exhortation and mercy, etc., etc. Every member of the baptized has been given one or more of those spiritual gifts or charisms. But we have to acknowledge them and to develop them and to work and use them, not just for ourselves, but for the good and the upbuilding of the church. Now, Dr. Healy was going to speak to us mostly about the spiritual gift of healing, which she has, and how we should be bold in asking for healing for ourselves and praying for healing for others. Bold, yes, but still submissive to the one who alone is Lord and submissive to his timing. Now, how many times as a kid did I ask my mom for permission to spend the night at my best friend Greg's house. And the times when she said no didn't keep me from asking again the next week. Didn't even keep me from trying to bug her to change her mind for that particular time. And when she said no, it didn't make me think that she didn't care. Although I tried to make her feel that way over and over again. God forgive me for that. Right? Nor did it make me think that she didn't have the power to give that permission. I had this degree of intimacy and submissiveness with my mom that enabled me to ask and keep asking. Sometimes with the understanding that if I changed something, maybe pledging to be more responsible or more mature, that could help in granting me that desired permission. So it is with our Father, the Lord of the house. Be intimate and submissive, and bold in asking. I encourage all of you, if you want to come, to join us for the prayer that we will have this afternoon, but to pray for the rescheduling of that event with Dr. Healy herself. Most of all, I encourage all of us to pray for and to desire eagerly the spiritual gifts, because then the church, this church, will come more and more alive. And that satanic pseudo-Lord will get angrier and angrier. Good. Because we're called to help Jesus bind up Satan ever more tightly in our own lives and for the church around us. So here's the homework for the week. Pray for intimacy and submissiveness to our Lord of the house. And desire eagerly the spiritual gifts that he bestows upon all the baptized.